You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number three now officially underway. 2 hours down, 1 hour to go. The good times and the vibes continue to roll. I'm Donnie Wrightside. He's Dubs Anderson. And of course, we're bringing the heat this morning, Dubs. The energy is high. The hot topics continue to flow. We just talked golf. Looks like a beautiful golf course. We got NFL topics to hit in this hour. We got NBA hard court action. A lot of great stuff to hit here. I'm excited and I'm ready to go. How about you?
On the links to the locks, the shoulders are just starting to loosen up, Donnie. Hour three does not stand a chance here. Happy hump day, halfway through the work week, hopefully not halfway through that bankroll, but there is no shortage in the sports world. And a couple of big storylines brewing up here for the Wednesday afternoon, Donnie. So excited to keep on chugging, moving and grooving. The party don't stop. We don't quit.
No, it doesn't. And by the way, when you talk about building the bankrolls here, when we talk about gamblers like ourselves and handicappers, we want to win on a game-to-game basis. But we don't get paid just for playing or betting on the game itself, per se. You know who does? It's Aaron Rodgers. No matter what happens, he has hundreds of millions of dollars to fall back on. But the question is that we asked today with our Fade the Public poll, we always like to reach out to the people in hour number three and find out exactly where they're going. On X at SportsGrid, the question was asked, will Aaron Rodgers play for the New York Jets next season? Now, that could be one of two things, right? It just means he's going to be on the roster. Is he going to be the starting quarterback? Is he going to be on the roster? Otherwise, you would have to trade or move on, which would be a big cap hit. But we're asking the public, Dubs, resounding. They said absolutely not. 87% through a couple hundred votes here. You know what? I actually faded the public. I said yes, Dubsy, because I don't think they can go anywhere with that monster contract. So let's start here, Dubs. Which way did you vote in this poll?
Unfortunately, I said yes. Aaron Rodgers will be part of the Jets. He will be the starting quarterback for 2025. Unfortunately, their hands are tied. It is really tough to move on. But maybe this is the time where Aaron Rodgers steps up to the presser and says, hey, I'll take full accountability for this absolute disaster, this train wreck of what we've seen, this failed experiment of the last 2 years for the Jets. He turns 41 years of age in December. Things do not get easier when you turn 41. I don't care if you work in accounting, finance, if you're stacking shelves, it slows down. Father Time catches up with every elite athlete. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Peyton Manning. He's achieved a lot in the NFL, and he is one of the all-time greats. But Donnie, I don't care. We have seen enough. This thing needs to stop. He's brought in all the mates, all the bandwagon, sort of fanfare, every weapon that he thought he needed to make this thing an absolute flying success. It hasn't worked. It's a toxic environment. The time is to move on, but I certainly think it's a little tougher, a little tougher than said. You know, I think he will be there for next season, unfortunately, especially there if you are a Jets fan. What about you, DRS? Is Aaron Rodgers coming back for another final tilt for the Jets?
He is, but not because he's a great quarterback. And by the way, as you saw that graphic on the TV side, he hasn't been a bad quarterback. I mean, it's 2,400 passing yards, 17 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. You see that passer rating right around a 90. So it's like, well, he's not really the issue, but you didn't get Aaron Rodgers, Dubs, to be an average quarterback. You needed him to be a top 10 quarterback with that talent on the team, and it should show on the field, and it hasn't done that. Now, they've lost in some quirky ways, but your record is what you say your record is. But here's the issue. We don't live in a vacuum. vacuum where it's like, okay, I can just make trades at any time like it's Madden and salary cap doesn't matter. If you trade Aaron Rodgers, you don't just clear his cap space and you can move on. You take that massive dead cap hit. If you cut him, same exact thing. So from my point of view, should he be the quarterback based on play next year for the Jets if they're going through a reset? Absolutely not. But that's not the way we play it in the NFL, in the real world. You just can't move on from that player because it'll wreck your salary cap. What would you rather have? Aaron Rodgers playing average football like he is this year, or cut Aaron Rodgers and you can't afford to pay anybody else on the roster, particularly add players in the offseason, which you know you're going to need to do with a 3-8 record right now. So just for me, the way the NFL works, Dubsy, he has to be on that roster next year. You made your bed, you got to sleep in it, New York Jets.
Yeah, stuck between a rock and a very hard place. I don't think 2025 is going to be a season in which the Jets come up with another quarterback, or I certainly don't think it's going to be a Tyrod Taylor who's getting the starting go of it at quarterback, and then Aaron Rodgers on the sidelines with the clipboard. You brought him in and trying to do one thing. The championship window, I mean, it's closed for this year, Donnie, but maybe there's just a slight little glimmer of hope next season. If they can get up to full health, if they can find a bit of chemistry and cohesion in the offseason, I just don't think it's going to be the case. And you know, we've got superstars on this roster. There's plenty of depth. They've got Breece Hall with the run game, Garrett Wilson, you've got Sauce, you've now got Davante Adams coming across, but it's the glue guys and it's everyone else in that locker room that must be getting really tired of this act. I'd be saying, hey, we've waited for you a good season. Last year was absolutely wasted. We've turned it back for this one. You're coming up with these band-aid fixes and trying to keep the playoff push alive. It just hasn't worked. Everyone's getting fired. The head coach, Sala, we've got Douglas, we've got Hackett. So at one point in time, you've just got to sit back and say, it hasn't worked. It may be time to move on. But unfortunately, at the end of the day, this is a business. It's not just a sports team. The NFL, it's not just a sports league. This is a billion-dollar empire, and business decisions have to be made. And I think for the Jets, it's likely going to mean that Aaron Rodgers stays as that starting quarterback going into 2025.
Once again, you look at the way the organizational structure is and the way the NFL works. The general manager gets fired. There's no salary cap hit. The head coach and Robert Saleh gets fired. There is no salary cap hit. The football team itself, you want to fire the quarterback, a lot of times there will be a massive salary cap hit, and that certainly does not help in the future for what you're looking to do. But if we are talking about a massive reset, it doesn't sound right because, again, when I talk about you make your bed and you lay in it, you really signed up as an all-in for Aaron Rodgers throughout the length of that contract. So I actually think it would be foolish to say move on from Aaron Rodgers, move on from your high-priced veterans. Are you just willing to go next year to a 3-14 type football team and then the following year get your quarterback and then all of a sudden on top of that, you're probably having a terrible losing season on top of you haven't made the playoffs in which teams like 3 decades at this point in New York City? I don't know if they can afford to overall do that, but also who is going to come in and be the head coach? Because the one thing we do know is this roster is extremely talented. Like, where did it go wrong? This should have been a paint by numbers top 10 defense on one side of the ball, and then offense, a solid offensive line that you tried to rebuild, Dubsy, a quarterback that's going to eventually be in the Hall of Fame, 2 Pro Bowl wide receivers, one of the young electric running backs in football in Breece Hall, and you drafted a nice kid in the draft as well. Like, how could this have gone wrong? So if you're willing to blow it up, Dubs, this isn't a 1 or 2 year thing. It looks like Jets fans get ready to be horrendous for 3 to 4 more years. I don't know if they can do that in New York.
Scary scenes. And I think that's going to be the big turnaround for the Jets, Donnie. I can sit back and take shots at Aaron Rodgers, but he's certainly playing good enough to give this team a chance of having a winning season. When your record's sitting at 3-8, when you're failing to close out games, when you're showing up on Sundays and you really don't have, you know, that DNA on the offense of what it should look like without consistency, it squarely points towards the man holding the clipboard. It hasn't been a great affair on the coaching side of things. And for the Jets, that's what it looks like. They're just so disjointed. I don't care if it's, you know, a kid's little league game or you're playing under 14 soccer out there on a Saturday afternoon. You can see a well-coached team and you can see a poorly coached team. And right now, the Jets look to be like they're in absolute shambles. So it's no surprises that Aaron Rodgers has had so much sway and swing throughout this season, but there's only so much we can blame him for and his play, what we've seen on the field in that locker room. At some point in time, the Jets are going to have to make a call of who's actually coming in to steer this ship. And once they come in, You've got to give him the keys to Ferrari. You cannot have Aaron Rodgers continuing to call his shots, or it could look more of the same.
Yeah, like Bill Belichick's going to come in and step in and correct all the issues. Like, the issue just might be sometimes you just need a more athletic quarterback in the pocket. Now, Tyrod Taylor, who's a backup quarterback on the New York Jets, maybe he could have provided that, but how many more wins was that going to equate to? And is this still a championship roster? Because the one thing you were supposed to factor on, no matter what happened, that defense was going to be elite. They haven't been elite at all. They haven't got the stops when they needed to, and maybe there's something to be said about firing your head coach who was a defensive coordinator in favor for Jeff Albrecht. That didn't work at all. Let's flip it over to the NBA. A lot of action on the hardwood tonight. Let's handicap it next, right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We didn't forget about the NBA. It's time to attack the hardwood here. It is Dubs. It is Donnie. It is Wednesday. And yesterday we had some NBA Cup action. We don't have that tonight, but in the NBA, Dubs, we do have back-to-backs, and sometimes that is an issue. So let's head first here to the New Orleans Pelicans and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Both of these teams did play last night, which is going to be a common theme for today. The line opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 13.5, and now still sits at 13.5 live at this moment. The total, which was 222, is now sitting at 220.5. The Pelicans, you got smashed by the Mavericks last night, and the Cavaliers, who suffered their first loss of the season. Is this a bounce back for the Cavaliers, or they're angry, or could this linger as they're upset about losing their status as the last undefeated team in the NBA?
I think there could be a lingering effect here for the Cavs, but not to say that that's going to be enough for them to not win this game. You know, perfect record playing in Cleveland. You look on the other side, the Pelicans have really struggled going on the road this season, just sitting at 1-6, and they've dropped 4 of the last 5. So I think the Cavs get the win in this one straight up, Donnie, but I like the points. I think the Pelicans can certainly get it close enough to count that 13-point margin. They squared off earlier in the season, over 150 points combined. So I think this total is in play here for the overs. I think we see plenty of points. I think the Pelicans will throw everything at them, including the kitchen sink. But in terms of defense, that ain't going to be showing up for this one. So the Cavs to get the win, the Pellies to cover, and I think the overs with plenty of points here for your Wednesday night.
Take a look at those anticipated starting lineups tonight for the teams. And the Pelicans, who usually have a talented roster, it's Brandon Boston, Javante Green, Trey Murphy, Brandon Ingram, and Yves Nisi starting at center, followed by the Cleveland Cavaliers, Garland Mitchell, Okoro, Mobley, and Allen, the usual suspects there for them. Let's keep it moving and head out west. How about the New York Knicks and the Phoenix Suns playing at 10 o'clock tonight? The line opened up at a -5-point favorite here for the FanDuel Sportsbook, and we're bouncing between 6s and now live 5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook here in the total that opened up at 220 that now sits at 223.5 on the live numbers here. How about the Knicks, a favorite on the road against the Phoenix Suns here, Dubsy?
Yeah, no Beal, no Kevin Durant, and they've dropped their last four games. So for the Phoenix Suns, who started the year, they started the new season with plenty of promise, they're suddenly on the skids going in the wrong direction. And you look at the Knicks, they've been playing some really good basketball, and they're starting to put up some points as well. So wouldn't be surprised if they absolutely blitz the Suns in this one. It really feels like they could be leading by double digits going into the halftime break. So I like the Knicks. I think for the Suns, it's just a matter of getting back to full health, or at least getting some of their big pieces back, notably there with KD. It's a massive miss for the Suns. And you look at the Knicks, they've had a pretty good run of it of late there. So at 5.5, Donnie, I like New York to cover this spot going out to the desert.
No, it's not bad. Anticipated starting lineups, as we talked about here. Brunson, Bridges, Hart, Anunoby, and Carl Anthony Towns. So a normal starting lineup there for the Knicks. And you're right about it. It's just one of those things that never seems to work out. You get a big three. The big three barely plays because the lineup here for the Suns looks like it's going to be Tyus Jones, Devin Booker, Ryan Dunn, Ighodaro. How about that name? See, you're getting guys in there I don't even know how to pronounce here. That shows how crazy it is. And also Yusuf Nurkic in the starting lineup tonight. We'll see how that plays out. But I'm with you. I think the New York Knicks are the right side tonight. Hey, hey! The Philadelphia 76ers taking on those Memphis Grizzlies tonight, 8 p.m. down in Memphis. This line actually opened up as a favorite towards the Memphis Grizzlies at -1. Now we're seeing -3s popping up live here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and a total that was listed at 218 on the opening number. That's now ballooned to 222.5. The Philadelphia 76ers, a favorite after their team meeting. How about that, Dubs?
Yeah, rally the locker room there. Kyle Lowry calling the troops in for a bit of a chin wag and really going after Joel Embiid. Tyrese Maxey calling out the big fella, saying it hasn't been good enough, and it really hasn't for the 76ers sitting at 2-11. Obviously, this number is reflective of the big storyline. Could that be the spark, the catapult in the 76ers trying to turn their early struggles around and get back into this thing? For the Memphis Grizzlies, they go as far as they can be carried by Ja Morant. I think Zach Edey's been fantastic, the big fella, from what we have seen. But both players look to miss this one. So too Cam Spencer. So with a couple of missing pieces from the Grizz, I think it's going to be a big ask in going against a 76ers team who arguably has the most motivation we've seen out of them all year long. So this is going to be a tough one going on the road. I don't like it at -3. If it does come down to the clutch there, I'd play it straight up in the juice. Worth the squeeze there. The total's an interesting one for me. If I do think it's going to be that close and a lot of offensive power missing from this one, it feels like it could be a close, you know, sort of rock fight towards the unders.
Like, we're still early in the season, right? You take a look at the anticipated starting lineups between the two teams, then between the Grizzlies and the Sixers. It's Maxey, McCain, George, Martin, and Embiid. Like, the boys are all back together here, going up against, as you pointed out, a team without their best player in Ja Morant. And Zach Edey, certainly a giant center, which is who's so tough to line up against. But if you are the Sixers, you know, 2-11 on the season, it almost feels, Dubsy, and it's crazy to say, like, this feels like a must win. Like, you have the game in Miami. You don't play well at all. Maxey's supposed to be back, anticipating coming back in the starting lineup. He's not going to be his 100% self, but McCain averaged some really good minutes and a lot of points in his absence here. There's too much firepower on the Sixers to lose this game. It feels like, to me, they have, like, where do they go from here? Hey, team meeting, everybody's back. Then you get beat by a bad Memphis team, even though I understand it's on the road. It feels to me, Dubsy, the launch point has to start tonight after that team meeting, because if they get beat tonight by this Memphis team and possibly by double digits, I don't know where to go here with the Sixers.
No, this is it. It's all on the line. It has gotten late early in Philly and over there in Memphis. I think they'll be walking tall. If they can get through this one, Donny, the next three they've got back in their building, so a really good chance of picking up a bit of momentum to get them back moving in the right direction. You don't have to go and, you know, rattle off 10 on the bounce here. If you can just pick up, you know, 3-4 of your next 5 or 6, that could be enough for the 76ers in allowing Joel Embiid to just get back up to par with his fitness. Watch out. But he certainly looks to have a very good matchup here in the paint tonight.
Yeah, he should be able to cook tonight. And we'll see what Maxey has to offer. But if I'm a betting man, which I am, Dubsy, I think that line movement is right. Open up as a -1 point favorite here for Memphis. Flipped over to Philadelphia 76ers. I think they're the right side tonight, as long as we see that starting lineup include Tyrese Maxey tonight. The charge to the championship in Philadelphia. Could it actually start tonight? 28-1, says the FanDuel Sportsbook. If they can cut down the Nets, we'll see if that plays out and they can climb back into that race. But we got more NBA talk next, more games to go over here on a Wednesday night. We'll see if we can pick out some winners and certainly have some fun while we do it. Stubbs and Donnie on a Wednesday. This is the Early Line NBA Talk. Coming back next day for the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As Dubsy says, the West Coast is the best coast as we head out to the Intuit Dome. It's the Orlando Magic and the Los Angeles Clippers. 10:30 tonight start on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The opening number here in New Jersey, -1.5 as a favorite towards the road team Magic. How about this? We now sit at -2.5 here for the Orlando Magic. And I don't know where we got this total from, to be honest, but you see on the screen, it's 207.5. Do you know what it is live right now? 206.5 with other outlets showing 206. Are we stuck in the late 1990s? 206.5, Dubs.
I don't even remember a time where we were getting these numbers, Donnie. 207, 206. I mean, I feel like we could put a starting five together here at the grid and fly over that mark. But yes, I mean, you look at the Magic, they've been winning games, but they have not been scoring at a high clip. They've failed to go over 100 in two of the last three, and they're still winning here. So it's no secret, no surprise to their success. It's on the defensive side of the ball, but they've really struggled going away from Orlando this season, just sitting at 2-6. And for the Clippers, I mean, we weren't sure earlier this season if this was actually their building. They really struggled to play in the Intuit Dome. Maybe it was that old fan wall coming in for a bit of confusion, but they have looked better over the last couple, and their offense is suddenly finding a bit of momentum there. So for the Clippers, the Magic, it's going to be a bit of a snoozer. A 207 defense is going to rule this one, but man, I think the Clippers could be live at home in their building out here on, yes, the West Coast, Best Coast, Donnie.
Yeah, a lot of guys. I don't even see my guy Norm Powell in the lineup tonight. Those starting lineups looks like Suggs, Caldwell, Pope, Wagner, Da Silva, and Carter for Orlando. And then Harden, Dunn, Coffey, Derek Jones Jr., and Ivica Zubac for the Los Angeles Clippers. Tough one, but boy, it's jarring to see some of the total. Are we going to get a 199.5 sooner than later? My goodness, your NBA. Let's get it together, which includes getting it together for the Milwaukee Bucks for this season. They're going to take on the Chicago Bulls here, Dubsy, in Milwaukee. 8.5 was that opening number, has shifted down slightly to -8, a total that also sits at 238.5. Dame Dash, Milwaukee, Giannis, are they enough to win by double digits tonight over the Bulls?
Yeah, Giannis still listed as a game time, but it looks like he is trending in the right direction. I think the Bucks cover this one for the Bulls. They're playing some really gritty basketball, you know, to start things off this season, but they just don't have the depth or the supporting cast to really make a tilt at this thing. So for the Bucks, who are trying to get this season going in the right direction, they've got to put up points. They've just got to get this offense moving. I think they've got to move it with a faster tempo, try and get after the Bulls in transition, and of course, get the big fella rocking and rolling there. So 237.5, Donnie. Look, I know we go from a low score to a high score, but I think this is far too many points for a Bucks team who's coming off, a one-point win over Houston, 101 to 100 there. I just don't see a world in which we get to that mark there. So I like the unders in this one. I like the Bucks to get the score for Wednesday night.
Yeah, anticipated start lineups does have Dame Lillard back after a couple games from that concussion that he had. Giannis Antetokounmpo also listed in the starting jacks, along with Andre Jackson, Taurean Prince, and Brooke Lopez. Then for Chicago Bulls, Josh Giddey, Kobe White, Zach LaVine, Patrick Williams, and Nikola Vucevic there on the opposite side. How about some college basketball action today? Top 25, Illinois and Alabama. How about Bama, an 8.5-point favorite and a total of 167.5? Are you digging into college basketball these days, Dubsy?
Donnie, nothing moves the needle like a bit of college hoops. And we've had a couple of big spots. We saw that one last night. Boilermakers getting bowled over by Marquette. But Illinois, big spot going against Crimson Tide. Both teams look fantastic going through the first three or four games here. If you look at the numbers, Bama expected to cover 8.5. They're fresh off that loss to Purdue. The Boilermakers taking them down 87-78 with that last outing. So a showdown here. The Crimson Tide booked as -385 favorites. I don't see a world in which they you entice that number. I think it could be a little closer than the odds makers are telling us. You look at the Fighting Illinois, they keep it close. They can get it done with a low scorer. So I don't think the Crimson Tide cover that number. I think it's going to be a close one. And again, looking towards the unders, Donnie. That's the common theme for my Wednesday night betting slate. Not a lot of points on the forecast.
No, and by the way, I'm looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. You got to be kidding me with the pronunciation of some of these player props here. And shout out to FanDuel Sportsbook in New Jersey that lets us bet player props. Love to see it. But how about some of these names? Ready to Dubsy? Tomislav Ivicic, Laboron Filon, Kasparis Jakuklonis, Mark Sears, easy one, we all know him, Clifford Omorul, Will Riley, easy one, Latrell Wrightsell, got that, Kylan Boswell, Ben Humricius. I mean, are these real names, Dubsy? Are we getting pawned by the FanDuel Sportsbook right now?
What do you mean, are they real names? Tomislav Ivicic has been fantastic. The big 7-1 sophomore for Illinois there. The Croatian product. Give me Tomislav for a monster Wednesday night, Donnie. 20 last out.
Send me to Croatia. Send me to Croatia. Send me Joe Lisi next. Dubsy's out of here. We'll keep rolling.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Keep it moving in hour number three of the Early Line Series, XM Channel 159, Sports Grid Network, your boy DRS. And I'm going to bring on a guest right now who's appeared multiple times on this network on a Wednesday. And I'm just informed that he is now the official owner of JohnMetchie3rd.com. It's Joe Lisi. Welcome in, man.
And I bring hard bagels on Sundays. That's the MO, right? Terrible bagel boy I am. Unbelievable. Great to be here, Donnie. hump week. Yeah. We got a great slate of action, college and NFL. I mean, what more can we ask for? And I hear there's going to be a special show for Pro Football Today this Sunday.
Ah, stop, look, and listen on Sunday. Going to be an absolute banger. By the way, I'm taking a look at your background right now. It's packed in LSU at night right there, you know, sun going down. Is that going to be the case? Anybody? Does anybody care about LSU football moving forward? Tough season.
No. Yeah, tough season, but something tells me that their ears might perk up this coming weekend against Vanderbilt.
Who do we got?
We'll see. It's a smash job, LSU. Oh, yeah. They've won 8 straight. Last win for Vanderbilt, Donnie, in Baton Rouge was 1951. Last win against the LSU Tigers. Yeah, it might have been.
He's running down the
before
field.
Before my time. The Galloping Ghost? I don't. You got me on that one.
Was that who was the guy? The Gray Ghost. Who was the ghost down there? The LSU. Was it the Gray Ghost? What was that movie? Everybody's All American. Come on now.
Oh yeah, you see that? I know who you.
Dennis Quaid.
Yes.
Who was it?
Yes.
Yeah. No,
yeah. It wasn't the Galloping Ghost, though, Donnie. Stop it. Will you stop?
By the way, if we were on a set, if we were on a set with a young guy with glasses that usually sits next to us, he'd be quite upset. We're going back to like the 1950s LSU football, his head, man.
Can't do that. I just think it's a smash job. I'll just say this: I think it's a double-digit win. I know Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt have been playing well, great as dogs, and Brian Kelly looked atrocious last week in the Swamp under the lights in Baton Rouge. 7:45 kick. I'll lay up to 10.5. How about that?
Wow. Give me a little Lacy action in that game. But let's get into the action with the Super Bowl odds, Joe, because there is a new leader in the clubhouse at the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's my Detroit Lions at a +350 price, overtaking the Kansas City Chiefs, who now sit at a 5-1. Are the Detroit Lions the best team right now, price-wise and also team-wise in the NFL, sitting here, Joe?
Well, team-wise and price-wise, they are. I mean, +350 for a team that they do is smash opponents, right? The killer instinct is there. They're hungry to get back to the NFC Championship game. I talked about it, and we talked about it on Monday night. It looked like Dan Campbell was trying to give Jared Goff the Heisman back in his days at California. I mean, unbelievable, up 35-plus points, and he's throwing the football all over the yard. But that's what you want to see right now. The only, I would say, hesitancy, Donnie, that I have in terms of backing Detroit right here, right now, in terms of week number 12, is the fact that they're just so dominant that you worry about this. You don't want to punch yourselves out, right? I would much rather see this team peaking from like week 12 through week 17 as opposed to them just going straight through, because we see it in baseball. We see it with the Braves. We saw it with the Dodgers in recent years, not this year, but, you know, a couple of years ago where they have the best record in Major League Baseball, they come to the playoffs, they're one and done. That would be my only hesitancy in terms of backing Detroit right here, but they're deserving. The only other team that I think I would back in right now from the price perspective would be Buffalo and your Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah. Give me a long shot blast, Joe. I mean, we see the Chargers 25-1, the Rams 70-1. You want the Bengals 90-1 to win the Super Bowl if they can make it in. Give me a long shot blast.
I mean, if we're talking long shot, I'm all in on the Rams. I do believe in them. But in terms of that value on that board, I still believe in Green Bay at 19-1. And, you know, Minnesota, the only caveat with Minnesota is, you know, the regression, the up and down weeks for Sam Darnold. Can he maintain that from week to week? But that defense has carried them for the most part. You know, very good in terms of run support, top five unit. As long as that carries through, Minnesota could be there. But if we're talking anything over 10, 15-1, I would take a shot on Jordan Love and the Packers at 19-1 overall.
How about that? Let's take a look at that MVP market. My goodness, if you want the leader in the clubhouse right now, it's Josh Allen. He's not giving you any discounts. +125 overtakes Lamar Jackson, who currently sits at a 2-1 price here, Joe. Number one, do you believe it should be Josh Allen that wins? And also, can you actually take a 125 with 6 or 7 weeks left to go in the season? Seems crazy.
Yeah, I can't take the 125 with Josh, right? Still have some tough games down the stretch. Deserving, we talked about it. If he were to pick up that victory against Kansas City, and he did, right? He's deserving to be the front runner, not turning the football over. Think about what he did on Sunday without Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid. He is deserving of that number. I would say long shots, Herbert's not bad. I mean, the reason why I say that is because they're 7-3 overall. They're not just running the football. Herbert's doing an attack and defenses with his arm 25-1. And then Kyler. I mean, everybody forgets that Arizona is the best team in the NFC West right now. If they, let's say, are a 10, 11, or even a 12-win football team, Kyler Murray at 35-1 has great value.
Yes, you're right about that. The season ended today. You take a look at the team that the odd man out would be the 49ers in that division, which is wild, but it is what it is here. Offensive Rookie of the Year, the heat is on Jaden Daniels. Just about, 2 weeks ago, he was skating. This was his award. Now Bo Nix, a 4-1 price, right on the heels of Jaden Daniels before you get down to the pass catchers and Bowers and Harrison Jr. and Thomas Jr. Jaden Daniels, the leader in the clubhouse, minus 550. Does Bo Nix have a legitimate chance to chase him down, Joe?
He does, Donnie, but he has to continue with those 300-yard performances, right? Bo Nix was attacking defenses with his legs. They were short to underneath throws. And then on Sunday, he attacks Atlanta over the top, multiple throws and multiple progressions, and he puts up 4 touchdowns. If that continues and Denver makes it to the playoffs and Jaden struggles over the last month of the regular season, 150, 200 yards, he's not running the football as much, Bo Nix could potentially steal it. He's got the best value at 4-1. I think Caleb is dead and buried right now. So it's Bo Nix, 4-1. He has great, but he has to do it in the passing game. Can't just do it with a $150 and running the football because of their defense. I think Jaden would win it in that type of situation.
Isn't it crazy? We started the season talking about here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Caleb Williams probably going to win. It should be easy. He now sits 50-1 to win the Rookie of the Year with still multiple games left to play. He's not getting benched, but he's just not playing great football. They had a chance maybe to improve their standing if they would have beat the Green Bay Packers, as Joe knows. That block kick cost people a lot, which includes the Chicago Bears in the standings overall. Is there any chance a guy like Brock Bowers can step up? He has been phenomenal at tight end, but just playing on a bad football team. Can he get the looks enough to maybe overtake and climb in to that top 2 spot?
Could he get 126 yards and multiple touchdowns every week from week 12 through week 17? If so, we talked about it in terms of the draft breakdown. He is the closest comparison from the tight end position in terms of all the tight ends over the past couple of years, and that includes LaPorta and some of the others. That resembles Travis Kelce, right? He runs like a wide receiver. You can't double cover him. He's big. Yards after the catch. I mean, and he's the main weapon now for Gardner Minshew in the passing game for Las Vegas. They're going to chuck it. They have nothing to lose. Basically dead and buried for a wild card. So if he puts up 100, 100 plus every week, multiple catches, 10, 11, he could be there. But I still think he would win it over Bo Nix or Jaden Daniels at this point.
He's also inspiring Oscar Delp down there for those Bulldogs. A couple tutties this past weekend. Maybe he steps up to the plate here. By the way, running backs, they usually win maybe Offensive Player of the Year. Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, new leader here, Joe. It's Saquon the Don in Philadelphia at a plus 115 price going up against Derrick Henry's now plus 150 price. Keep in mind, Joe, not this weekend, next weekend, head-to-head in Baltimore between Saquon and Henry.
Yeah, I would give it to Saquon, and you know, kudos to you, because you really thought that Saquon would be a huge addition to that offense. I didn't think it would be that much of a kickstart, but he's an added addition, especially in the receiving game, right? Multiple catches coming out of the backfield. He scored. He stretches defenses. I mean, the athleticism is unbelievable. I mean, Derrick Henry's deserving, but after he tailed off last week against the Steelers, I think it's Saquon and deserving.
I won't say the name. I'll just use the initials. KW didn't like Saquon Barkley coming over to the Philadelphia Eagles. That is on tape somewhere here on the Sports Grid Network. Me, trusted Saquon. Some guy named KW didn't trust him here. You know who I trust to talk college football? It's Joe Lisi. Let's get into some college football next, right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Television show, the college football playoff rankings, the new edition are out right now, Joe, and we take a look at them. Number 1, Oregon, no surprise. Ohio State 2, Texas 3, Penn State 4, Indiana 5, Notre Dame, Alabama, Miami, Ole Miss, Georgia, Tennessee, and Boise State in the top 12. From the standings, even all the way through the top 25, what was your opinion last night when these were released?
I mean, the love, obviously the love for the Big Ten. I have no problem with that, Donnie, but I'm not sold on Ohio State being better than Texas. I just don't. I know they have one quality win, in my opinion. That's over Penn State in Happy Valley. But I just think I would put Texas ahead of Ohio State and the love for Penn State. I mean, they don't really have a quality win on their resume, like a top five win like Texas does or like Georgia or like some of the others in terms of Ole Miss. And I know that those teams have multiple losses. But, I mean, come on. I mean, the love – how could you have Penn State at four going up against Indiana? And I understand that Indiana will play Ohio State this weekend. But where is the respect if you're going to give the Big Ten that much love to have an undefeated Hoosier team? How can't they be ranked ahead of the Penn State and the Lions who are, have one loss and Indiana has none? It just makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in the past, we always got caught up in records, right? Like, if you had one loss or zero losses, you automatically got placed, typically, if you're a Power 5 team. Right. Now, I think they're just taking a look at who should be the better team at this point. Maybe they're projecting Penn State to be the better team than Indiana. Let me ask you this question, though, because if we equate it to NFL, the Atlanta Falcons currently sit in first place in the NFC South, Joe. I'm like, hey, you know what? They're going to get a bye moving forward over, let's just say, the Detroit Lions, who clearly probably are the best team in the NFL. In college football, why was the need for the group of five to be ranked? Because I'm not knocking Boise State in a way. Quality football team. We know they don't play the same schedules as the majority of the Power Five conference groups here that we have. But give me an idea of Boise State if they do lock in a bye. Is that fair? And should that go in moving forward?
I think it is fair because it's a body of work for the group of five, right? We've never really equated them on the same level as the Power Four or the Power Five previously. So the fact that they would get a first round bye in that type of situation is deserving for winning your conference and being the highest ranked team. And we've seen these teams at least step up in terms of bowl type of situations, right? We've seen Tulane knock off Tulane knocked off USC and Caleb Williams on New Year's Day years ago. Boise State knocked off Oklahoma. So they have, in terms of a one-game type of situation, they are very competitive and can pull off the upset. But I think it's due to the fact that we want to give equal, you know, resume, and we want to give an equal, an equal bound to these group of five teams. Meaning if you win out, and you're deserving, you deserve to be treated just the way the other Power Four conferences are. I don't have a problem with that. I really don't.
Let's take a look at the top 12 here, Joe, as it stands right now. If we remove Miami from the equation, because we know they're not the fraud, who's the fraud in this top 12 right now?
Top 12? Oh, if
yeah.
You take Miami
who's the fraud?
Out of it. I think it's Penn State.
They're clearly not.
I'll continue to say that. It's Penn State. I don't know so much about Boise because I do believe in Boise with Genty and the ability to run the football. I actually think that maybe Boise isn't the group of five team. I think we have to see what plays out in regards to the matchup in Yankee Stadium with Notre Dame and Army. Army strikes that upset and they win the AAC. I'd be all in to put Army over Boise State in terms of that type of situation. But I'll go back to Penn State. I'm still not sold on Drew Aller. I'm still not sold on this team as a whole. I do have question marks. I think if you put them on a neutral field against Georgia, against Ole Miss, they would get blown out. And think about this, Donnie, right? Ole Miss played Penn State at the end of last year on a neutral field. They got absolutely abused by the speed of the SEC. Why are they getting so much love early on? That's the problem that I have. I think if they played Texas right now, they would get abused and potentially lose that game by double digits. And it doesn't come down to their defense. It comes down to their main question mark, and that's their quarterback.
By the way, if we are looking at the top 12 here, I'm going to make you king right now, and you are an opposing coach in NCAA football. Which team do you not want to see in this college football playoff?
Oh, Georgia. I mean, hands down, it's Georgia. The fact that, you know, Kirby Smart has been there, done that. They do have weaknesses this year. But in terms of that type of situation with the coaching staff, knowing that they won back-to-back national championships, knowing that it's, you know, go big or go home, meaning do or die, I wouldn't want to see the Georgia Bulldogs in any capacity. Not the same consistent offense that we saw last year in terms of, you know, third down offense, completion percentage for Carson Beck, the turnovers, but I would believe more in Kirby Smart to get it right in a playoff type of situation.
We saw that good look finally at the quarterback position for Georgia last weekend, being efficient in the pocket, throwing for some big yards here. Maybe that's a catalyst, because also, if we are looking at the projected college football playoff bracket, number six, Penn State hosting the Georgia Bulldogs, number 11. Sounds like a Penn State loss and another extension from James Franklin here.
If they had to go into Athens, Don,
man,
and I've seen somebody say it would be a 1.5-point spread, I would put it at 6.5 or 7. There were, put it this way, if Tennessee would lose that game by 14 points, there is no doubt I would have no confidence in Drew Aller going into that building and potentially knocking off Georgia or putting up potentially 24 to 28 points. And that's the concern that I have, and that's why I'm shocked that the committee continues to put James Franklin and the Nittany Lions at number 4 overall. I understand from a resume, one loss, and they lost by 7 to Ohio State. But you just can't do it. They would lose. They would lose by double digits on the road to Texas. They really would.
If we look at these, Alabama playing on Notre Dame, Ohio State, BYU, Indiana versus Ole Miss, and then Penn State and Georgia. Who's the best upset-minded team in that projected round number one matchups?
Notre Dame over Alabama. And the reason why I say that is because I do believe in their defense. I believe that they can run the football. That's still a weakness of Alabama. We've seen them in terms of run support give up a ton of yards to more physical offensive lines. Look at South Carolina. Look at some of the other teams. And that secondary for Notre Dame holding opponents to less than 50%. I would say Notre Dame has a shot.
I love it. I can't wait for that bracket to come out and be official here, because if that was the four games, they would be sensational to watch on a Friday/Saturday event here in college football. Make sure you stay here, because why? Army and Notre Dame from Mulberry Street in New York City. At least he's got those winners next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Early Line, Donnie and Ben will be back tomorrow. We're going to jump into bye-bye-bye in a couple of seconds, but Donnie, myself, and Kevin Walsh will be live for Pro Football In-Game Live tomorrow, 8 to 12, so check us out. We'll dive into the Thursday night action, and we'll break it down from the props perspective, so tune in on Sports Grid. Let's go with bye-bye-bye, and I'm feeling better today because I can throw out a college football pick, so Friezo, give it to me, bye-bye-bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
All right, we got an ACC game tonight, Georgia Tech and NC State. Georgia Tech opens on FanDuel as an 8.5-point favorite right now. We saw Georgia Tech dominate Miami a couple of weeks ago, 28-23. They were basically a 9.5-point underdog, have played very well in Atlanta, 4-0 at home. But this NC State team, to me, is playing a little bit with house money. They're catching 8.5 points, only averaging 120 rushing yards on the ground. But they're 5-5 overall. And we talk about this point in regards to the college football season. Teams have to view it in terms of getting to a bowl contention. This is very important, especially when you saw NC State struggle with the quarterback perspective. Grayson McCall, their starter, got hurt earlier in the year. They've gone with backups. That if they could get to at least 6-6 or even 7-5 overall, that would be a huge accomplishment for the NC State Wolfpack. Give me the Wolfpack plus the 8.5 points. Not suggesting they win the game, but I think they cover this 8.5-point line a little bit later in Atlanta tomorrow night. Oh, that's tomorrow night. I threw it out. My bad. Well, I'll throw out a college basketball pick a little bit later. But two college football games this coming weekend. Two marquee top 25 battles. We have Ohio State and we have Indiana. Huge momentum when you break this game down in terms of the series perspective. I'm big on this in terms of when you see line movement. This line opened up for much of the week earlier. Ohio State was a 10.5-point home favorite over the Indiana Hoosiers. The line balloons to 12.5. Indiana has lost 28 straight games to the Ohio State Buckeyes. Last time they were close was back in the days with Michael Penix. I think that was the COVID year. They were about 6.5, 7-point dogs. That's when Tom Allen went into Columbus. They did have a first-half lead, gave way, I believe, to Justin Fields in terms of that matchup. They lost it by 7 to 10 points. They did, I believe, cover that game a couple of years ago. But this is going to be a different animal trying to absolutely win this game, get to the college football playoff. The one thing I do like is the consistency of Indiana, not just in terms of the rushing attack, but with Curtis Schwartz. He's a veteran quarterback. He's been battle-tested in terms of MAC type of games. I know this is the biggest game on his resume to this point, but I still believe he can move the football on Ohio State. They're going to have to shut down the rushing attack of Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson. We saw that game play out against Michigan, a very run-heavy offense. They did a very good job of limiting Michigan chunk plays, forced the Wolverines to work down the field. They got the game into an ugly fourth quarter game and pulled it out. I think this is similar. I don't know if Indiana wins, but plus the 12 and a half is a number that I would probably take in this matchup. I do feel that this game does have offense, though. 51 and a half, I think we blow through the total on Saturday afternoon. Notre Dame, Army. This is an intriguing battle. We saw Navy play Notre Dame a couple of weeks ago. They were catching about 12 and a half, 13 points in MetLife Stadium. Notre Dame absolutely boat raced them, put up a 50 spot. And I think the perception in terms of this ball game is that that's what's going to happen in terms of Yankee Stadium on Saturday afternoon. I disagree. This line opened up on FanDuel. Notre Dame, a 16.5 point favorite. We've seen money come in over the past couple of days on Army. I do believe that Army is a little bit better than Navy this year, not just offensively with their star quarterback Daly, but defensively as well, playing very good in terms of third down defense. And I'm still not sold in terms of the consistency of the passing attack of Riley Leonard. Now, physicality, all Notre Dame. But if Army does score first, does take about eight and a half minutes off this ball game in terms of the clock, I think they could be in this number. If you want to take a long shot bet, if you believe that Army could cover this number and potentially, you know, win the game, yes, the plus 520 is very good number. 7-1 to make the college football playoff. That is a great number because Army would be a front runner then to win the AAC and potentially crack down that college football door over Boise State. We'll see you tomorrow. Ben and Donnie will be back. Coming up next, Craig Mishan, Moneyline, I don't even know. Craig Mishan, Newswire, there you go. Coming up next.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right.